This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 6th of May, 2024, and you're on the clock with Erin Green, and we have lots of birthday greetings today. I want to start off by saying happy belated birthday to Rab Kweli. I was going to ask my producer to play Bring the 80s Back by Rab Kweli. Happy birthday. His birthday was yesterday. But with the 80s comes electricity bills that are equal to your mortgage or your rent. So, no, I don't want to bring that part of the 80s back at all. Happy birthday, belated birthday to Rab Kweli, to Kofi Campbell. Belated birthday to Solo Maid, Timothy Darien Bain, Joy Gibralu, Scrooge Valentino Brown, Natalie Atkins, Sharon Fox, Patricia Powell, Chikozie Ijoma. A happy birthday slash rest in peace to Fritzy Aeneas, Uncle Aeneas, father of Leah Aeneas and Uncle Sarah. Happy birthday, belated birthday to Crystal Turnquest, belated birthday to Susan Zelweski, Nia Cooper, Franson Godson, and Re Love. I hope I haven't missed anybody. Wait, I have missed out someone very important, including today, Mandisa Smith from Willis and the Illis, Ruth Ann Newton, long time friend from first grade, and Mr. Newry. Good morning this morning.
Good morning to you, Erin. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Join me in saying happy birthday to the Hannah Hasty Tynes, current historian, or one of our current historians, Aunt Iris Tynes.
Happy birthday, Aunt Iris.
Happy birthday. I hear Aunt Iris is out there gallivanting with the young people. If you are at the Aquinas, I think, graduation, Aquinas is having a ceremony this morning. If you are there, please raise a hand and tell Aunt Iris happy birthday from the whole Hannah Hasty Tynes family.
Aunt Iris will be 88 years old.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, 88 years old.
I don't believe it.
She looked young, eh?
Yeah, she looked young.
No past 60. I thought she'd be like 60 years.
She looked like she's jump in the car and drive stick shift.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Aunt Iris. It's been a very long weekend. I have lots of stuff from the news to talk about, so let's do open line. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. 242-300-5720 for Family Island residents. It's toll-free. Text line powered, as always, by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. I'm looking for some Family Islanders to call in. Again, 242-300-5720 is toll-free for Family Island residents. Beyond the weekend of vehicular accidents I want to talk about, I want to touch on these two stories at the end of last week. The first one, man in custody for arson while fires continue to burn in Abaco. That was Thursday of last week. Central and South Abaco MP John Pinder and police officials said a man is in custody for allegedly starting a raging fire in Marsh Harbor last week. The man is expected to be arraigned today. Mr. Pinder said there are two ongoing fires on Abaco, one in Spring City and the other in Marsh Harbor near the government's clinic. Some residents tried to temporarily relocate from their homes due to health concerns. He said the fire endangering houses in Spring City is under investigation. Quote, the Marsh Harbor Fire Department as well as the residents are doing their best to keep it off the homes, he told reporters outside the House of Assembly. Mr. Pinder said he is working to get a 40-foot fire break around Spring City. Quote, I believe the fire departments across our nation are limited in what they have, particularly in Abaco, close quotes. He said, quote, it's all a volunteer service in every community, and more fire trucks and more fire hydrants are definitely needed to mitigate the impact of these fires, close quotes. Mr. Pinder expects more fires as the summer approaches and is troubled by the arson report. A thick smoke has been engulfing Spring City, amplifying health concerns. Volunteer firefighters tackled 4 blazes in Abaco recently.
With all the money that the police force has been given, donated, especially from proceeds of crime, how come every island does not have a fire truck? I'm not saying having a staff, but at least a fire truck
being present. To enable the volunteer teams, right?
I find it strange. What about the residents? Are they pushing or demanding that they get a fire truck from the Commissioner of Police budget?
I think from what I've learned, I think residents stop demanding what they're owed.
So you're just begging foreigners now to help them.
They have organized and maintained substantive relationships with second homeowners, residents in Abaco, families of Abaconians, and these people have made linkages with and formed relationships with entities and people who are supporting them by ensuring that they have these essential resources, whether they themselves are on the island or not.
I'm starting to question or wonder if Family Islanders pay taxes. If they pay taxes, they deserve at least a fire truck.
Well, listen,
why not one ambulance?
Let's start here. Even if they didn't pay taxes, they deserve a fire truck.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Your access to life-saving fire services is not dependent on whether you pay taxes or not. That's not how our system is set up.
You think John Pinder is able to lobby his government to get a fire truck? Or he's just pontificating to show that he's working without working?
Well, I think Abaco is a particular dynamic, but I do have a question on the table for our leadership discussion. The FNM convention nomination process is in the news today, right? And the question is your MP representing your constituency or is your MP representing their party in your constituency? Mm. Right? And that's a question I think that everybody who is voting at the FNM convention should put to the leadership, or the potential leadership, to whichever team, both teams, all teams vying for leadership, anybody vying for a leadership position, are you as an MP, are you, the MPs you are supporting through your party framework,
mm-hmm.
are they representing your constituency in the House of Assembly, or are they representing their party in your constituency?
Pushing party politics and party agendas.
Right, versus the basic essential things that MPs are supposed to be lobbying and advocating for.
Like a fire truck.
A basic fire truck.
It ain't got to be high end. It could be a used one.
Right. It could be even with a rickshaw, with the hand pump.
Yeah.
Just something. Let's go to the phone line in a second. I think the producer's on with them. And so there's a second article I want to read about the fire as well. I want to make this note that I have not found online any follow-up to the Andrus fires. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, talking away so long with you, Aaron.
Good morning, Bremen. Good morning. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm holding, thank God. We need justice, law, in this country, the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
But what I want to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any government, right, or any party,
mm-hmm.
political party, what running for leadership in this country,
mm-hmm.
they supposed to think about, when they think about infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
fire engines and and a doctor or a couple of doctors supposed to be in the making because they supposed to be on those island or situation supposed to be established that they get into those islands when they are needed as soon as quick as possible. Okay?
Yes.
Those people would run for the House of Assembly, so they got to start to think. But Aaron, I want to ask you a question off the air, please.
Okay, I will message you off air.
Bremen, how you was messaging me?
Hold on, I thought I had your number. Bremen, producer, is going
to
take
gonna,
no, no, he can
I'm
take
gonna
it.
Ask, I'm going to ask
no, no.
you this question on air.
Okay. You don't have to. I can let the producer take your number, you know, and I can call you after the show.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's what. Okay, and then switch us over to the next call. Good morning, caller.
Well, Aaron Green, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
As a Queens College comet like myself.
Yes, sir.
I know we're going to have a good dialogue this morning. You know, 50 years in, and I'm not talking about any political party. I'm talking about governance. Like the last caller said, don't you think 50 years in you would have had a proper fire truck in a proper firehouse so it wouldn't rust? And attached next to it, a proper clinic with an operating theater. Because if your appendix bursts, you don't want to wait on the plane to come down here to wait in the line at PMH.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
My God. I mean, you and I can think. We've got 8 major inhabited islands, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We could have put 8 major clinics, but I call them small hospitals, with one operating theater, with everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
For the critical care of the things like appendix bursting, and I could give you a plethora of things, scenarios, right? And one doctor that can operate, and a nurse, 2 nurses. That's all you needed, right? But highly skilled, trained, well-paid as they would get in Canada. You know what they're going to say to you and I, Aaron? Where would the money come from?
I knew where it come from.
You look at that person and you tell them you're a part of the problem. I want to see the person who knows where the money will come from.
Thank you.
So, Aaron, in 50 years, if they wanted you to have a fire truck, if they wanted you to have good running water, if they wanted you to have good electricity in these islands, if they wanted to make each settlement, the capital, a mini city, you would have had it after 50 years. So the Bible say, by the actions you'll know them. So how they done act on you, I dare you to vote for them again. Have a good one, Aaron.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Graham. Got a little excited there. Let me get back to the story.
Mm.
All that revolutionary talk about expecting clinics after 50 years of
pomp and circumstance. The constituents, if they wanted a proper hospital or fire truck or whatever, police station, whoever come lobbying for their votes, they say, hey, this is what it takes. But if they ain't asked for it, they ain't gonna get it.
You know what they say, if you ask for it, you ain't going to get it. If you don't ask, you definitely ain't going to get
it. Say the squeaky wheel is the one who's got grease.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's another story quickly, because I think these fire stories are extremely important, particularly since nobody seems to see a need to fill us in on what's happening in Andrus with that fire. The last 2 things we heard was A, the fire was under control, and then B, the fire has damaged significant portions of BAMSI mm-hmm. Property and development. So here we go. Abaco Chamber head pleads for firefighting resources. This is from Friday's Guardian. Abaco Chamber of Commerce President Daphne DeGregory Maolis is pleading for more firefighting resources on the island. She told Guardian Business a bushfire that started last month is now, quote, under control, close quotes, thanks to the volunteers on the island who have worked tirelessly to ensure that homes and businesses stay safe. Quote, they work like 3 or 4 days nonstop, saving people's homes and saving lives. I want to say good morning to Leanne Key, volunteer fireman in Abaco, along with all of the residents that risk their lives in this tireless job. It was unbelievable. Not one single home was lost, and just 2 major communities were at risk, close quotes. The bushfire ripped through Marsh Harbor and Spring City. according to reports in the Tribune. At least four blazes were tackled by firefighters over April 27th and 28th. Fire Chief Danny Sawyer told the Tribune the fire erupted at a DRA, that's Disaster Reconstruction Authority, site. Quote, where they had all the hurricane domes stored in trailers and it burned up into the back of Spring City, close quotes. An individual has been arrested for suspected arson and is now in custody. DeGregory Mayolis said, quote, we don't have adequate firefighting equipment resources. The Ministry of Works, ever since Hurricane Dorian, they have been struggling. They've been struggling well before then. They lost some of their equipment in Dorian and they haven't had it replaced. We're coming on to almost 4.5 years.
Almost 4.5 years.
After Dorian.
No hurricane shelter yet.
So they're at a disadvantage for clearing the verges and even being able to assist in emergencies. I don't understand how that could be with the millions and millions of dollars being pumped through Abaco.
Plus, the MPs have constituent money that can do verges and do a higher contract.
There are so many things they can do that will protect the residents, in particular, even if they don't do it to protect the wildlife. Close quotes. Stick a pin. We're going back to that article. Good morning, caller. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
Hey.
Caesar.
I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah, Poppy.
Hey, Papa.
I'm just wondering if your guys, I missed y'all last week, if you all to talk about it, but I think that's now 2 Fridays to go where the Prime Minister say the Bahamian man is becoming an endangered species and the women already in charge of everything and in charge of us.
I can talk about that on Thursday.
Oh, you didn't? Y'all didn't?
I mean, we did.
We briefly.
We briefly touched on it. Like, I may have asked the question if the Prime Minister, if this is some sort of obeah that he's practicing. April was poetry month. I don't know if this was...
Do you believe or do you think or do you know if the majority of Bahamian men agreed with what he said?
There's a large number of Bahamian men who have adopted that narrative. There's a large number of Bahamian men who are anti-women. You hear it when they speak. They're aggressive. They say, women deserve to be disciplined. We see a number of men, boys, at COB said they expect to discipline their girlfriends when they act out. And the girls say, yeah, I expect them to get for us to be disciplined. So a culture is being bred in the Bahamas.
Where so you think the Prime Minister was right? Because he didn't sound aggressive to me. I don't know if he... Really
I think the Prime Minister was wrong, especially...
Well, yeah, Aaron, I thought you would have said it, but...
I know, that's why you asked. That's why you asked Nuri.
Yeah, that's why I did ask it, but Nuri was a man. He's a man.
I know.
He's a man, and he was answering that just now.
Uh-huh.
And he's telling me how some are so aggressive, and you can hear they have a problem with women. I was telling him that the Prime Minister did not sound aggressive, and if he think the Prime Minister is right, what he say?
Listen, I hear you calling Yuri's name.
Okay,
I hear you calling Yuri's name, but I'm talking right now.
Yeah, and I
want to say this. Hold on, Papa, I want to say this, right? That's okay, it's okay. I just want you all to take a step back. Hold on. No, hold on, because I ain't finished talking.
Okay.
I don't want you to accuse me of being aggressive, even though I own my own show.
Please don't cut me, Miss Green.
What I'm saying is, I would step back and ask the Prime Minister if that's the type of conversation that he has about these matters in his own home, and if he is treating the matter seriously.
That's what I thought about.
And with integrity,
having a
conversation
with
that matter.
A lot of us might agree with that, but I don't know if he really mean that.
Mind you, his wife, by her actions, is contrary to him because she involved all the women's group and women's vulnerable group. So definitely she is completely opposite of what he says.
You know what? We should leave space to agree that they might agree to disagree or someone arguing. Listen, a couple of weeks ago, you know this thing, the previous council? It sounded like since this Port Authority, the Port Authority business come up with this fight against the government Port Authority, they either form or they reactive or... recreate or bring it back to life, something what started from in the 1800s or something like that, where in the Bahamas here, we have something like I call it a privy council to be able to deal with international like problems, like with this thing with the Port Authority and the government of the Bahamas. And then listening to the Guardian News just now, they saying that the Prime Minister go over there to Freeport this evening to make an announcement to the Chamber of Commerce. So I was wondering if y'all too, because y'all too is one of the hardest we get on the airwave right now in the Bahamas, if y'all going to touch up to date. Who are these four people? Two of the names of them I could remember, because two names I'm not familiar with. One was Peter Maynard, and one was Rubion. I don't know if it's Bethel Nordage. Rubion Nordage. They could be sitting on this thingum where they'll be able to make a decision if the government, right, or the port authority, right,
arbitration.
If they go to court.
They're going to arbitration.
They're going to arbitration.
Yeah. See if y'all can follow that up, because that's important for us to break down for us. Who ain't that smart like some of them, so we could understand it, dominate it down. Y'all keep up the good work. Ms. Green, I hear what you say. You ain't agree with the Prime Minister.
Are you scared for the Prime Minister?
Sometimes you just don't talk. You could express it amongst your boys, right? But you don't say it out loud. But then, I have no problem with the Prime Minister saying it. I have issues with the women in his party and their lack of reaction to say, well, I understand what the Prime Minister says, but I completely agree. Right. Silence means consent.
And I can step away from critiquing what he said and focus on the manner in which he treats this subject, right? I don't think you're taking the issue seriously. And I think that the word games, the word play, the humor is misplaced. And it just manifests that you're not taking this matter seriously. And since it's a matter of sexual violence, you ought to be reminded that you should not be playing politics with people's lives. Let's get back to the Abaco fire story. We were reading a quote from DeGregory Mayolis, who is the president of the Abaco Chamber of Commerce. She continued, quote, when there is a serious drought like this and every year we have this and it is not like it's unpredictable, we know when the fires will typically start. The government needs to be proactive in regard to prevention in emergency situations. They can't prevent the fires, but they can go in and clear the verges. They can back burn and they can create fire breaks. There are so many things they can do that will protect the residences in particular, even if they don't do it to protect the wildlife. The fire, close quotes, the fire has not negatively affected ongoing Hurricane Dorian reconstruction efforts and has done nothing more than be a nuisance to residents who had to stop their daily routine to battle the blaze. She noted, quote, the fire just negatively affects the environment. Our water reserves are at a major risk. We need to ensure that our water is not being contaminated through fires in areas where we need to prevent fires like the dump, close quotes. I want to stick a pin here. I appreciate the urgency of the matter. The quote-unquote environment is equally important as the lives that sustain themselves from said environment. But here's a thing. So I was talking to a firefighter, and I said, why they keep saying, using the term under control, but the fire is still burning. And after they say under control, they also mentioned they don't have the resources to deal with the fire the way they want to. Why do they keep using the term under control? And the person told me that just means that it's not no risk to human life or buildings, right? When they say it's under control, that doesn't mean that they actually have the fire contained or can tell you in what direction the fire is going to move next. Now, here's why this is important. Well, Pintard and Minnis over on the side here in this leadership battle to determine who is going to lead the FNM party, and thus, if they win the government, who's going to lead the government of the Bahamas. And I, as a citizen of the Bahamas, would like to know how would these individuals respond to particular issues if they were leaders? I wonder how would the FNM respond? If I go to Grand Bahama, which seems to be the home of the FNM party, do they have a vibrant and well-resourced firefighting network system in a Grand Bahama? How does the FNM respond to these issues? And here's why it is pressing. Here's another story from last Friday's Guardian. Chicken may be, quote, wiped out, close quotes, from shelves by end of summer, says Roberts. SuperValu's principal said that the bird flu pandemic in the U.S. may, quote, wipe out, close quotes, chicken and turkey from shelves by the end of this summer. Rupert Roberts told Guardian Business that prices have relatively remained stable during the early part of the summer months, but he is watching a few international matters that may impact prices and supply during the next few months. Quote, I see the bird flu and something else is going to not start a chicken shortage, but it is going to wipe out chicken and turkey. Our suppliers have not said anything about that, but that's what they are expecting in the world. that there's going to be no supply in chickens and turkey, close quotes. The Guardian newspaper in the UK has reported that avian influenza was detected among chickens in Texas and Michigan following news of the virus infecting livestock and then a person for the first time in the U.S. and potentially leading to supply chain issues. So, we have these fires burning in Abaco. Under control, close quote, open quotes, close quotes, does not necessarily mean they have a timeline on when the fire will be completely extinguished. Isn't Abaco Big Bird our bread? I mean, isn't Abaco, the home of Abaco Big Bird, our poultry bread basket?
Yeah.
Should we not be concerned?
Is the MP concerned?
Are the MPs concerned?
We have two MPs in Abaco?
I mean, we have an MP and a PM. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Please turn your radio down for me, caller.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yeah, I heard you ask the rhetorical question just now.
Okay.
About what was the FNM or Hubert Minister?
Pintard.
There was a fire was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Andres, it is, right?
Yes, Andres. No, Abaco is the... Abaco, we're talking about the Abaco fires
now,
but Andres fire definitely. No, Andres fire included.
Okay, yeah. But I just wanted to answer the question for you guys. We would have a lockdown.
Yeah.
We'd probably have to be in by 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, no.
Yeah.
There's call it a state of emergency, and then we'd be under... our constitutional rights would have to be abolished or
temporarily restricted.
Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the take I would take on that.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
You have a good day.
You have a
great show.
Thank you
yes,
very
sir.
Much. Blessings.
Yes, sir.
You have a great show. And then you wouldn't be able to come off a lockdown until you see Minnis in stand in water barefoot, like that's like groundhog. Signals the end of winter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Quick end of winter. If you have lockdown, you'll know that the lockdown is lifted when you see Minnis barefoot in a standing puddle of water.
But Aaron, I was concerned about smoke, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when I had to deal with children and sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a fire exists and it's threatening in terms of quality of life and smoke, therefore, New Providence, Nassau, the capital, needs to dispatch somebody. And I hear the MP talking, but mm-hmm. I don't hear that sense of urgency of the resources coming from the capital, you know. And I hear he is purporting that he is working, and what he's purporting to me is still inadequate.
Absolutely. And as an MP, are you able to organize resources on island?
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait on the government to authorize resources being sent to Abaco.
Even though they work at the office of the Prime Minister.
Right. What is available to you on island, and are you able to organize those resources to respond in the face of the dereliction by central government?
You have access to expat money.
And why is it that we have not... I mean, maybe you don't want to write DeSantis... Right? But somebody in the U.S. federal government, maybe you could write and say, hey, just for a second, could we borrow some of those helicopters with the buckets?
That goes through Ministry of Foreign Affairs, right? Right, Fair Mitchell?
Oh, he was busy this weekend. I got another story. He was very busy this weekend.
Right. What are you busy doing?
But I don't know if it was this weekend.
Doing what?
Accepting honors.
Fred Mitchell get honors?
Yeah.
What do you get honor about?
I don't know why.
You don't believe he deserves an honor?
And I want to talk about it in a way that does not discredit or denigrate the institution that proffered, that gave the honor.
Then you could say it in passing, but what honor did he get?
So I saw a story on BahamasUncensored.com indicating that L.W. Young renamed their sports houses.
Okay.
You know, the houses you organize students in?
Bernard Seton, Alcuin, yeah. And Leonard.
Right. And so the most of the names are sports names.
Like what?
Like Laverne Eve.
Oh, nice.
like Pauline Davis.
That's different.
I want you pull up. I'm trying to pull it up now so I could read them correctly. So I think there are four sports houses.
Oh, that's a nice, that's a great honor they did. I didn't know they normally name it after lions and tigers and bears and birds. The idea that they named it after sports icon is it's impressive.
And then they named one after Fred Mitchell.
What?
Reading from Bahamas Uncensored, it was a special privilege and honor to have one of the sports houses at L.W. Young Junior High named after me, Fred Mitchell, MP, as Mitchell House. I was honored along with former L.W. Young students Pauline Davis, Franklin Rutherford, and Laverne Eve. So there's
so they have three sports person and one who runs them out?
See, I told you all,
funny.
Rowan, Rowan should have been the national sport. Along with sloop sailing.
But anyway, he does sponsor L.W. Young a lot, right? And I assume that's why.
Hold on, pause.
Go ahead.
Does he support the work of L.W. Young as an institution in his constituency? Is that what you mean by support?
Yes.
That's just his job.
That is his job.
That's all it is.
But
and everybody would understand why you would prioritize an institution of learning,
yes.
Particularly a junior high school.
Yes, they're the next voters.
Or high school, if it's high school. Full.
It's a junior high school.
Yeah, that's what I thought, junior.
But I guess you...
I mean, maybe...
I smile at the principal. The
Rowan,
principal is
running on.
Yeah.
Long jump, triple jump, jump into conclusions.
Yeah.
Hold on. There's a caller on the line.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron and your co-host.
Good morning.
I'm highly upset, right?
Yes, sir.
This is Quincy the Trillamini Pratt.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, if you say the name, some of the
LW
again?
Sports houses.
Yeah, the sports houses after some athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, listen to me now. Now, me and Laverne Eve, we grew up together. I could walk across the street and walk straight in the house. Okay?
Yes.
I born in Fox Hill, fight for Fox Hill. And you can put Fred Mitchell... Fred McGreevy from the Bahamas.
I know when he born, man. I know when he born.
Listen, man. I don't agree with that Fred Mitchell. Man, look here.
I got you. I got you. I can take the blow. I can take the blow to the kidney.
I'm highly upset. I fight for Fox Hill, man. Come on.
I appreciate
that.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
I hope one day that someone decides to name a sporting house after the Trillamiller.
Oh, no. Here's what I would recommend. I think that if the petition were brought to Mr. Mitchell, right? If the petition were brought to Mr. Mitchell and the entity, right? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if Mr. Mitchell said, hey, guess what? Actually, I could identify four or five people from Fox Hill right now that should hold this honor before me. Let's do a competition. I can sponsor it. We can get the whole community
you
to come.
You always have ideas,
and support L.W. Young, and we can vote for the person who should fill the fourth house.
How do we get you to be a part of the war room? You come up with these ideas.
Apparently,
but
I'm already a part of the war room. I just didn't know it.
Yeah, you don't get no pay, though. You need to get donations.
I mean, yeah.
But that's a great idea. You think it's too late, but he's already accepted the
war. It's never too late. It's never too late.
But and then perhaps Quincy Miller can get a chance because he grew up in Fox Hill.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But anyway, in the meantime, congratulations, Mr. Mitchell. He has a whole house and go team Mitchell.
And now I hope that you will turn to your colleague. You know how the people them don't like to turn to their neighbor in church anymore?
Neighbor?
I will need you to turn to your colleague at the next PLP event and say, Mr. Leslie Miller, show me the way. Now that these young people and this institution have determined that I will receive this honor, show me how you do it, right? And you then endeavor to participate in as many sporting events as possible, not just in the Fox Hill constituency, not just in the Northern School, the public school, Northern Public Schools District, but in the country as a whole.
Okay. You have another caller there, Aaron.
Sorry about that. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Gain.
And
Mr. Neary.
How you doing?
Aaron, do you know why fire and rescue is lacking in the Bahamas?
Go ahead.
Tell
because
me.
Every city has a commissioner of fire and rescue, New York, Miami, Atlanta, everybody, L.A.
Mm-hmm.
They have a man who deals with that. The police chief already has it full with crime.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a commissioner of fire and rescue. Imagine the fire truck had arrived from East Street, go for one fire, go ride 7 miles to the end of Wester when the whole house is burning down.
Yep.
Every police agent should have a fire and a rescue sitting in the yard. Because when you have a stroke, time meet your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Stroke, heart attack, time meet your friend. I think we're playing in this country on how to run, how to govern this. Because police should not have to be worried about being a police. You should be worried about how to fight fire, how to save people's lives. That should be the main reason of a fire rescue department.
Absolutely.
And getting back to the, I hope the PM listening to hire a police, I mean, a fire rescue chief. Take that out of the commissioner's hands. His hands is full for any crime. I would like a debate between minutes and his components. I want to see who can think quicker. Who is intelligent? Who don't talk fool? I mean, like, ministers, whenever I try to speak, ask my mother if he's a real doctor. But what he been all his life? Most doctors I know here in the States, they speak proper English.
He's a real doctor.
And he's good at what he does.
What he been to, why he ain't perfect his language skills?
He have a speech impediment, and he
no,
has...
No. That's lack of phonics. He doesn't have phonics, but he can have it now. How to present W's.
Okay,
his elocution has improved tremendously.
But he need to do better to be our prime minister.
But listen, no. I think that's an unfair assessment, because the question is, did Hubert Ingraham's speech impediment or speech peculiarity prevent him from promulgating decent policy? Did it prevent him from engaging the public with the most
Ingraham
important messages?
We could understand him. He spoke, you know, dialect, but it was better than the minister speaking. Ministers, his elocution, his phonics is bad. I mean, like, for a doctor,
prime minister has
like
challenges also.
You look at Dr. him 3 times, he still talk fool. I sound foolish.
Okay.
Doctor this, doctor that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Listen,
thank you. I have to spend too much time bringing balance to this, but thank you very much, caller. I appreciate your critique.
Please, I want a smart prime minister.
You want a smart prime minister?
No, I don't know if I... If you had some of them, I don't know
perhaps,
if I'd like them.
Perhaps, Aaron, each family in Ireland needs to create a wish list. Like all of the utilities they need or essentials they need, like an ambulance, like a fire truck, or like a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And just write everything down.
Like a hurricane shelter.
A hurricane shelter. And publish it. So we know that this is what they want. So when people like John Pinder speaks, you say, hey, you see this wish list?
Did you get a copy of this?
Did you get a copy? All any right. of these you able to do within your 5 years?
Absolutely. Callers, you hear the music. I have to go to a break. If you can hold the line, hold. If not, call back as the show starts. On the other side of this break, you are on the clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Elaine, you hear what boss man was saying in the back there just now?
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool.
I can't afford to pay that. And you're always crying, palm out. Ain't gonna be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that terminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony mm-hmm. through the pandemic. Oh. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan. I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
Attention all you Providence customers. Are you ready to spring into savings and make this Mother's Day unforgettable? From April 26th to May 9th, pay your water and sewage bill in full and get a chance to win big. That's right, simply pay your bill and you'll be automatically entered to win a stunning 55-inch smart TV. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to treat yourself or that special mom in your life. Visit any of our water and sewage offices to learn more. Spring into savings and make this Mother's Day one to remember. Water and sewage committed to growth, committed to quality. Hurry, offer ends soon. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good morning, good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I see we got a caller on the line. Mr. Nuri, any interesting text there?
Oh, go to the caller line.
All right. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm only calling to tell you happy belated birthday. This is the one, Eric.
Hey,
why,
Eric.
Thank you.
And I'm pretty sure no one said anything as yet, so I'm just letting everybody know out there, happy belated birthday.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very, very much.
Was it cake and ice cream?
Not yet. They have been, I've sent in the complaints, and I just want you all to know that Mark Zuckerberg sent me a personal note saying, you guys are lying, you just didn't push the cake in the right slot on your computer. If you had put it in the right slot, it would have come straight to me.
Bingo.
There you go.
Bingo.
Absolutely. I had a wonderful time, though.
Hope you had yourself a great weekend, though, honestly.
Yeah, man. It was wonderful.
Excellent.
I was watching basketball reels all weekend. I was watching Ant-Man with his Inspector Gadget arms.
Yeah, we can talk about that on Friday. I know you're in the midst of a show right now.
Yeah, man.
Have yourself a great day, Aaron.
Will do. Thank you so much.
One text. Bye-bye. Take care, Eric. One text says, great show as usual, said, Aaron, did you notice that we had 10 accidents, it seems, or between Friday and today?
Mr. Nuri, read what that say right there.
Yes, I see.
It's a weekend of vehicular accidents. Dear caller, I saw a blue vehicle being pulled out of the bush. I'm not exactly sure where. I think it's southwest Bahamas or southern, most extreme southern west Bahamas, maybe Frank Watson Boulevard. I'm not sure. That it's a very unfortunate scene. There was also a man laying on the ground on the roadside. This vehicle that was being pulled out of the bush, it appears, was in... threw itself in the bush. Mm-hmm. I'm not making light. I'm not being trivial. I saw a number of accidents. I saw an accident where the vehicle was on fire. The people in the video think or thought that maybe the vehicle had hit a tree. Let's go to the caller. I've seen lots of vehicular incidents this weekend.
Okay, let me read this too before I go to call it there. It says, having had an encounter with a minor bushfire in Nassau, the suffocating smoke and the concern of a spread, I can't imagine what the Androsians and Abaconians are going through for 3 whole days. But one thing I did realize, the firemen themselves can't do this. They need our help. I also realized as I watched the minor fire beyond firing a bucket of water, which is somewhat inefficient, we don't know what to do. It might be a good thing to have some community training. I don't know how to do that safely. The fire department wouldn't know. Summer is coming and they say it's supposed to be more record high temperatures. Time will tell. But if it's a dry year, this could be the beginning. So
yeah.
I like the idea of free fire
training. Without community training. In communities, right? You can't take them to a hall somewhere because they need to be able to identify the fire-saving resources available to them. Are there working fire hydrants in the community? How do you operate them? Who in the community has open yards and water spigots accessible close to the edge of the yard, right? Yeah. Does the constituency office, we're coming to you right now, caller, does the constituency office have backup hoses, right? So we can extend existing hoses to create a proper fire line, and have we trained people with the bucket brigade?
And going to the caller, this text, how come you mentioned the Haitian Bohemian track team? But well, let's go to the caller. That's a whole different show.
Tell them it on my notes. You could verify it on my notes. But I wanted to talk about traffic. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
We don't want to talk about the Haitian migrant problem and the Haitian, because when Bohemians talk about it, it seems to be a problem. So just sit down and let the country fill up with migrants, okay? Of all demographics, and say nothing. Just be a learned, helpless sheep. Now, my little PB brain, right, Aaron, is perplexed with the CO2 science and this narrative about forest fires, right? So a feasible study a feasibility study needs to be had, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that I don't believe that bushfires are caught from the sun being hot on the trees and et cetera. I just can't buy into it.
Okay.
Now, may I remind my learned whoever that CO2 is produced when you light a bushfire, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's anthropogenic, all right? And so my pea brain is further confounded by the fact that plants need CO2 to make oxygen because carbon is the source of all life. Yet still, these intellectuals are telling me and you that carbon dioxide is the problem when they cannot distinguish the difference between anthropogenic and carboniferous carbon as it relates to the ratio of the isotopes that exist within carbon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean to sound complex, but that's just to show you all the lies are hidden in molecular science where there's no mental appliance. Everybody just go on what they're told. Their minds are of being sold. Listen, man, I'm sickened by the human journey, okay? Now, as it relates to the fire, you said that somebody's arrested for the arson, right?
Well, under suspicion of arson.
Yeah, but I would like to see arson or setting a fire to someone's house or anything be moved up and classified as terrorism. The only difference between a bomber and an arsonist is the fact that a fire is much slower. But there's no difference. And so you mentioned something weeks earlier when they were talking about this. What if the fire was intentional, designed to sell coal? All right? What reason could somebody help to start a bushfire?
Yeah, I didn't say that, but that's what a caller implied.
Yeah, I know, but Aaron, I'm saying I'm trying to conceive something here. I'm trying to find out what reason could they have to start a bushfire? You get me, Mr. Nui?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's terrorism. You're not looking at the environmental fallout with people breathing in the fumes, et cetera, et cetera. You know, well, what I'm saying is it looks as if they're trying to decrease the amount of CO2 in the air when CO2 is the source of all life because it contains carbon. And carbon is involved in every combustion process there is. I am confounded.
Thank you.
Somebody can rescue me with my pea little brains because this is a bunch of BS at best.
Thank you, 52. I'm going to do a show for my birthday month about these sort of issues. Thank you very much, 52. We're coming to you right now, caller. Producer, prepare the caller. I'm coming to you right now. I got, Mr. Newry, I got this article here. Davis government vindicated a stadium sold out for IAAF World Relays.
News, though.
What I want to know is,
everything is politics.
Who determined that? Who determined that you were vindicated? It's the same person who tabled the unaudited reports in the House of Assembly.
Plus 52.
That's why I ain't talking about the all-star, Haiti, Bahamas all-star team yet, because that's a big, full conversation.
And I like to thank the government for all the free tickets, because I see they had entire sections of free tickets given out. I mean, that's a good way to fill the stadium.
Yeah.
But see, there's no, that shouldn't be part of the news.
Yeah.
You know, it's full.
Yeah. Because then we have to talk about why it's full. And y'all don't want to talk about why it's full. Right. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron.
Good morning.
I have known that you had it quite day recently.
But thank you.
But
go on.
A godly belated birthday.
Thank you, Bremen.
But what I want to ask you, right?
I can bring the cake. That's what you want to ask?
I want to ask you, who did you give the first piece of cake to?
I ain't get the cake yet.
And who took you out?
I ain't get the cake yet. I went for a lovely, quiet evening at a restaurant nearby. And on my way there, somebody almost killed me on the road. And so
Who took you out?
My partner. But
Your partner.
Yeah, after the drive
have
there.
Have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Tell your mommy I said hello, please.
I will do, Bremen.
Thank you.
You make my day even more beautiful. But yes.
God is good.
Blessings, indeed.
You get care much the same.
Indeed, God is good. Yeah, man, I was on my way out to dinner and then to do something else. And this individual, anyway, caused me to cancel all my plans. I just been to the chiropractor. I got to go back to the chiropractor. People then almost push us straight off the road. Anyway, that's something that I would put to both Minnis and Pintard in their quest to lead the Bahamas. These are the issues that you need to be prepared to speak to, not just to your own party members, but to the Bahamian public as well. What are you going to do about traffic? What are you going to do about the fact that the police have stopped enforcing traffic controls? Because what they are doing is not enforcing traffic controls. They are engaged in tax collection exercises, and they are trying to catch wanted people in traffic. But that's not the same thing as traffic enforcement.
But the good thing is, with a sold-out stadium, that means we make all kind of money. So it'd be good to finally make a profit. And I hope to see the numbers and detailed information instead of these unaudited things.
Absolutely. Text here, good morning, Aaron and CA. Man, Aaron, I was so annoyed on Friday with this new fast food establishment, Popeyes, where the old Wendy's was on Mackey Street. Ain't you know I've been sitting in traffic through the corner forever thinking traffic was backed up, not knowing it was the drive-through line. What can be done about these places using the government road like that, inconveniencing people?
We know of Kentucky.
Yeah. Listen, callers, I all out of time. I'm not going to be able to take any more callers. I'm waiting for the producer to start playing the music now so I could make this point. Prior to the snap election, prior to the Davis administration taking the helm, the question I put on the table is, does Davis understand that his greatest challenge will be causing and compelling his party members, government actors, and Bahamians and people resident in the Bahamas generally to compel and, to moderate their behavior? Minnis and Pintard have the same question to them. How are you going to cause your party members, state actors, businesses, the general public to moderate their behavior? Because right now, ordinary Bahamians are being terrorized on a daily basis by rogue actors of all levels, from reckless and wanton, careless drivers to businesses that are obstructing traffic and refusing to follow the protocols related to road works. You could imagine that you come upon a traffic obstruction and all you can see is two vehicles being used as markers to indicate to the public that traffic is being obstructed. Y'all can't even find cones. Is it that did Bahama buy all the cones in this year's budget? Because when you drive through Bahama, and they are obstructing traffic. They have 1,007 cones. It's beautiful. And it's the way it's supposed to be done. Yet here we are every day being terrorized by people who refuse to follow the law because they know there is no one who is willing to enforce it. Y'all have a great day. Sorry I didn't get through to all of the texts. Mr. Nuri is a bad secretary today. But we're going to be talking about that on Thursday and more matters between men and women, gender equality. You guys have a great day.